Welcome to this podcast episode of Narcissists in Divorce, The Narcissist Trap. I'm Dr. Supriya McKenna. I'm a former family doctor, but my life's true work is working with people who have fallen prey to narcissistic relationships of any kind. But I'm particularly busy in the area of divorce. Over the last few years, I've been very proud to become an Amazon best-selling author on the subject of narcissism, and my brand new book, Narcissists in Divorce, From Love Locked to Leaving, is out right now on Amazon. That's the first book in the Narcissists in Divorce series, and the follow-on to that will be out in the spring, and that's called Narcissists in Divorce, From Leaving to Liberty. And please do note that although I use the word divorce, these books are equally applicable to anyone leaving a serious intimate relationship with a narcissist, whether they are married or not. I also have a book out called The Narcissist Trap, The Mind-Bending Pull of the Great Pretenders. And that book might be useful in helping the people around you who are supporting you to understand more about what happened to you and about narcissism generally. I'm also the co-author with British divorce lawyer Karen Walker of Narcissism and Family Law, a practitioner's guide. And between us, Karen and I have trained thousands of family law professionals in narcissistic personality disorder, including judges, lawyers, mediators, and social workers. For further narcissism resources from me, please do visit thelifedoctor.org or drsupriya.com, and that web address has the doctor fully spelt out. In this episode, we discuss the importance of finding a divorce lawyer who has a good understanding of narcissistic personality disorder if you suspect that your spouse may be narcissistic, as well as how to go about finding the right divorce lawyer for you. There's all sorts of consequences, adverse consequences, for that person who is separating or divorcing from a narcissistic individual if their lawyer isn't really able to protect them because they don't understand the issues that are actually going to take place. It's so different to a normal divorce, if there's any such thing as a normal divorce, but a divorce without a narcissistic party involved. And there's all sorts of different types of abuse that are actually going to go on through the process of divorce that are specific to narcissistic abuse. I mean, this is a great forum, actually, for the narcissist to actually ramp up their abuse.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of another reason why it's so, so important for the lawyer to be absolutely aware, because they need to preempt these very specific behaviours, these very specific forms of abuse that are going to happen through the divorce process. It isn't just a kind of high-conflict situation. It's not just a straightforward, acrimonious divorce. It's very, very, very specific. The things that that the spouse will endure through the divorce, those behaviours are absolutely specific. And there are specific ways of dealing with them.
It's quite different to high conflict. I mean, high conflict is where people have fallen out badly.
Mm.
This has got something underlying through it, which is quite different. And so I think does definitely need a different approach.
Mm. How many lawyers do you think at the moment understand in depth what narcissistic personality disorder is? Because I know that, you know, in England we don't really talk about it that much. It's more of it's a concept that's come over from the US, and of course we have narcissists on our shores just as much as they do in the US, but it's been recognised over there as a personality disorder. So I'm expecting it to be fairly low, but what do you think your answer would be?
I think probably about up to 20% of family lawyers would have a good understanding or reasonable understanding of what's involved, just because of the work that they've done. And again, I think it's going to be people at the more experienced end.
Mm. That's a reasonable figure, I think.
I think so.
For where we are at the moment in the UK. And obviously we want it to be much, much higher than that. But it is therefore possible to find the right lawyer. It's not like you're looking for a needle in a haystack.
No, absolutely not.
So how do you think they should go about finding a lawyer? Practically, how are they going to find a lawyer who understands narcissistic personality disorder?
So I think obviously a recommendation is always best. So if they know somebody who can recommend someone who's dealt with this sort of thing before, then that's going to be a good start point. The website of Resolution at www.resolution.org will list family practitioners by geographical location, not that geography is quite so important today as it used to be. And I think it's important to look for individuals who've got the whole range of family law qualifications. So they're not just a solicitor, but they've also trained in other forms of practice, such as mediation and collaborative practice. So they've got a much broader and long-term understanding. Also, somebody who's quite experienced in this field. Unfortunately, if you're dealing with the spouse of a narcissist, or any case that involves one of the couple being narcissistic, this very specific behaviour is something that you've got to be quite strong to deal with as a professional, and therefore looking for somebody who's inexpensive and consequentially junior can often become more expensive as a consequence, because they won't understand what they're dealing with, and the narcissist could run rings around them very quickly. So do your own research and don't be afraid to phone people up. Most people will give you 5 or 10 minutes on the phone as an initial chat if you're making the approach as a new client. And I think you can gauge a lot about the personality of the individual and also what their experience is. Don't be afraid to ask somebody, because you're going to be investing a lot of time and money in this is the rest of your life. Whether they'll speak to you in the first instance and give you a little bit of time is going to be an indication of their approach. And not that you want something for free, but that you, I think those that understand where you are will be prepared to give you those 5-10 minutes on the phone. Asking questions in your initial meeting, not being afraid to explain what your suspicions are about what your spouse may or may not be, and listening to how empathetic and understanding your lawyer is about what do they add to what you think you already know. Do they sound like they have an understanding? If you're making telephone inquiries, ask about how long that appointment is going to be, what's going to be covered, because it's not just about what does the house cost, what does everybody earn, what are the pensions, and do you want to get divorced, and if so, on what ground. It's about what have you been experiencing, how long has this been going on for, what do you want out of this, and somebody that's going to take the time to really understand where you are and what your objectives are. It's not a quick purchase or something that one wants to deal with glibly or without doing that due diligence and going through it properly. So don't be afraid to ring round. Look at people's websites. Look at what they say about themselves. Look at what they've been involved in. Everybody's out there putting stuff on LinkedIn and any other outward-facing information provider that sets out what people have done with their careers and where they are, what they're interested in and dealing with. And not to be afraid, if you think it's the wrong person in the first initial consultation, again, to say so, because that's the point, if you think it's wrong, to make the change.
A lot of these people have got into this position, they've been targeted by narcissists or a narcissist because they're people pleasers. And so there may be a tendency to sort of go with the first person that seems quite nice because they don't want to let them down. I'm talking about going with the first lawyer that seems quite nice, even if they don't actually understand specifically narcissistic personality disorder. But you mentioned a point about looking for someone who's been trained in other aspects of family law, like mediation or arbitration. And I think that's really, really important, because they are far more likely, I think, to actually have come across this type of personality disorder, or actually not just have an understanding of it, but also they're probably more open, even if they don't have a specific understanding of narcissistic personality disorder. I suspect that type of lawyer that's gone on to sort of train in other branches is possibly more open-minded, or, I mean, what would you say about that?
I think that's right. I think that when one deals with this sort of work, you've got to have the ability to see both sides. Always, when one looks at a case, it's very important to look at it from the point of view of the person who's not your client, because you've got to find that middle route eventually of where the common ground is going to be. I think that if you've done mediation training, arbitration training, you're going to have a level of experience which will mean you will have been subjected to people who suffer from narcissistic personality disorder, you will have a much better understanding of what it is. You're also going to be, I think, probably more empathetic and understanding of your own clients' needs, the fact that they might not be able to deal with things as quickly and briskly as in an ideal world one might wish, but to bear with that and understand why it is. And also to have an understanding of what's been going on for them at home and how they're feeling about the situation, what a big step this is. And also, we're going to be talking in future podcasts about how narcissists deal with the whole court and legal process. But the fact that the whole negotiation process is quite different if you're dealing with one of the couple being narcissistic, and being able to explain that and understand it and work with your client, which I think, again, mediators are facilitators, so they're very used to working alongside the couple, albeit that in an individual instruction they're acting for their client, and therefore they've got that ability to nurture a case along, which I think when you've been abused and you are, as you say, a people pleaser, to have somebody that's trying to please you as well is actually quite important.
Yes.
Meeting that need.
Yeah, very true.
And you also might want somebody who is able to unbundle some of the work and to say to you, look, actually, you can do some bits of this yourself, and I'm just going to help you when you really need me. So it's mapping out that team approach.
The person that's trying to leave the relationship, for starters, they might keep going back, and the lawyer has to understand that that's quite often what's going to happen. They might be instructed and then disinstructed and instructed again, because they're going to be sucked back into the relationship. And I think the lawyer has to sort of be aware of that and be patient. So that's right at the very beginning of the process. But then the person that's been through the abuse might come across as being hysterical or slightly crazy or unable to think clearly. And that's all as a result of the abuse. They'll be suffering a great deal, not just emotionally, but also they'll be in a sort of panic mode. Their sympathetic system will be on overdrive. And so literally blood will be being diverted away from their brains. So they literally cannot think as clearly as someone who hasn't been through this type of abuse.
And if their lawyer doesn't appreciate that, then they may mistake that for not giving proper instructions or not being properly attuned to the process, or may completely disregard that feeling of being sort of sunk down into the situation that their client will be demonstrating, because they don't really understand why.
Exactly. And another thing that many people who've been narcissistically abused fall into is a thing called learned helplessness, where they just feel they can't do anything about it anyway, so why bother? They just accept what's coming to them. And again, the lawyer needs to really be aware of that and advise. There needs to be advice given. I mean, it's all very well for a lawyer to say, well, you know, what are your instructions? But really, if your client has been narcissistically abused, you need to really be on the ball when it comes to giving advice. It really is part of the role. It's going to be hard for the abused person to take things on board.
And so for the solicitor to properly understand that is a crucial part of this partnership, getting the individual out of this abusive relationship. Oh. It's a working together situation.
Absolutely. But also, I think it's important to say as well that a lot of people kind of coming into this situation, they sort of think that their spouse might be narcissistic, but they really don't know, because that, again, is all part of the situation. You tend not to be completely sure, because you're vacillating between these two Jekyll and Hyde type images of your spouse. They were sweetness and light, and then they were terrible, and then they were sweetness and light again. That, of course, is part of the pattern of narcissistic abuse. And so there's these two images, and you can't kind of marry them up. It's widely quoted that it takes 7 times on average to leave an abusive relationship.
Wow.
And a lot of that is because people don't actually realise that they're in an abusive relationship. It might be very obvious for anyone looking in from the outside, who, if they could actually see behind closed doors what was going on, it might be very obvious to them. But you lose your ability, really, to see what's actually going on. So you are controlled and you are manipulated. and you don't really have a sense of what's really happening to you. So it's hard to know when you first walk into that that office, the lawyer's office, whether really you are dealing with a narcissist or not. And that's important to say. No one's expecting the spouse to walk in and say, my husband or my wife has narcissistic personality disorder, full stop. The expectation is going to be that it's a suspicion rather than a knowledge. And that's okay. It's okay to say, I suspect, but I'm not sure.
And it's quite useful to share with your prospective lawyer why you think they might be, and see whether some of the things that you tell them resonate with them, and that they can perhaps help you towards a decision as to whether they are or not. So that's quite a good start for the conversation, and a very good way to find out whether the person you're talking to does have experience of this kind of personality disorder, and perhaps together you might reach the conclusion as to whether it's yes, no, or everybody is narcissistic to a tiny degree, and it's where you are on the scale as to how abusive it becomes, and so you may be able to work that through and decide a strategy based on that. To summarise, find the right person. Don't be afraid to say no, you're the wrong person, and get it right from the outset, because that's then going to set the tone for removing you from this relationship and mapping out the rest of your life.
My brand new book, Narcissists in Divorce, From Lovelocked to Leaving, is out now. For more information and online courses about narcissism, please do check out my websites, thelifedoctor.org or drsapria.com.